Welcome to The Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. How is everybody doing today? Thank you for joining. I got a few questions recently about how to find out about items. So one of the things that we heavily rely on as eBay sellers is obviously is Terapeak. It's a free resource that we're given by eBay. It used to not be free, but it's free now for users to kind of research items and see what they sell for. And I think that it is an invaluable resource for sure. But one of the things that doesn't really help you to do is to look at items and say, what are they? You know, so it's so many things on eBay in all categories. So this is a generic statement, but they're generally not very good at identifying what things are. And so what you have to do as a seller in the collectibles market is you need to go out and find resources that you could look at, guides on identifying items so that when you put them on eBay, you could price them right. Now, you're not going to get these guides. You know, they may have pricing in it, in those guides. But the pricing is going to be, very dated. So in other words, if you got a brand new book, for instance, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but, if you have a brand new book and it gives you a price of $10, something may have happened between the time that was printed and when you receive that book and then when it sells on eBay. So don't look at them necessarily for pricing. I mean, maybe a little bit, but you're really using them guides as ways to identify an item. So let's talk about this. So if you were a comic book seller, right? And comic book sellers, there's a lot of things to be looked at in comic books. And so you need to be able to identify the characters. You need to identify a certain print. You're going to need to identify who maybe the artist is. And all this stuff can be found in a book called Overstreets. Now there's several other guides, don't get me wrong, but Overstreets is kind of the gold standard, I believe, in the comic book market. So for identification, not pricing. Pricing still eBay and then WorthPoint, which we'll talk about that in a minute too. So get yourself a guide, no matter what it is. So if, for instance, in postcards, there's several of them. I would suggest you get one of those guides for postcards. If you're going to deal in postcards, it kind of helps you identify who the artists are, the format, what they call them necessarily. So, what they call them on eBay might not be the right thing. As a matter of fact, I see so many people listing RPPC photograph cards. So in other words, in postcards, there's something called RPPC, which is basically a real person photograph or real postcard photograph. And there's ways to identify that. And there's a website, by the way. And so you should look at some of the websites out there to help to identify the years on those. But you're not going to, you see a lot of people putting RPPC postcards online on eBay, and they're not really RPPC. They might be. I've even seen Chrome postcards posted as RPPC. So Chrome is, of course, the newest type of postcard type. So anyway, get yourself a good guidebook. So Overstreet for comic books. There's several for postcards. I'm recently getting into tokens, and so I just ordered a massive token book. That's going to help me identify tokens, when they were made and, who made them and so on. It's a massive book. It cost me a couple $100. Don't go out yourself and buy, $1,000 worth of books. I mean, do it as you need it. But you should really honestly Overstreet for comic books. And then, like I said, several postcard books. But you want to get one that's kind of fairly comprehensive. The tokens, like I said, coin books, there's tons of them. You need to get that stamp books, all that stuff. You need to get those sources because you want to be able to look at something. And then if you can't find out what it is, you just need to rifle through this guide, find it. And then basically you can use that in your title. That's going to garner you a lot more money than anything. If you know more about your product and you put that in the title and in the descriptions and so on, you're going to be able to sell something, you know, 2-3x what somebody else has the same item for. Because what's going to happen is your the person that's going to buy it, they're searching for those terms. And if they see that you know what those terms are, then, you know, they will reasonably believe that you understand what you're selling. And so, and that's a leg up to other eBay sellers. I can't tell you how many eBay sellers just suck at, you know, identifying items and putting them in the title. I mean, the worst. So I frequently go on eBay and buy cards that are mistitled and doesn't have information in it. And I buy them for half the price that I sell them for. Now, I don't make nearly as much money than if I were to buy them in a huge lot, but you know, I still do make 2x, 3x my money. And so, you know, I think there's, knowing what you're selling is kind of one of the number one things you need to do. So go on Amazon, or maybe even on eBay, maybe they have them too, but go on Amazon and just start searching for guidebooks for your particular collectible. You know, Beckett is, by the way, the one for sports cards. If you're going to do sports cards, there's probably others too. Don't, you know, listen, I'm not a big sports card guy. So, but Beckett is something that you can get online as well. And I would suggest that you actually subscribe to these platforms if you can. So, you know, even though you get, great pricing on eBay, you do get a lot more information on Beckett's, for instance, for sports cards. So let's talk about WorthPoint. So WorthPoint is a website, which is kind of cool. Think of it as Terapeak, Uber Terapeak. It just has so much more information about all sorts of collectibles. It's a pay-for service. You can get a certain number of lists of things you can look up for free. And certainly, if you are really, really good at what you're selling and you don't really need the WorthPoint website, that's okay. WorthPoint is not a sponsor, by the way, so, but you know, just go there and look at it. But WorthPoint is really kind of the gold standard for a lot of antiques and collectibles. Now, with exception, I believe, in my opinion, of comic books and sports cards, I think there are better sources for those, but all other antiques, very good source. The price for WorthPoint is anywhere between like $17 a month, all the way up to like 35 or 40 or something like that. So definitely worth it if you are doing heavy antique sales and collectible sales. I think it's definitely worth it. I think also, again, it gives you a lot of information. The more information you have from the guidebooks that you can put in this, the better pricing information you're going to get. Now, mind you, WorthPoint gets its pricing from all sorts of sources, eBay being one of them. So, you know, obviously, if you know what the search term is and you put it in Terapeak and you can find it in Terapeak consistently, then, you know, don't bother with the WorthPoint thing. But I think actually WorthPoint is probably better because it has multiple sources. Now, mind you, you're not always going to sell on eBay when you sell collectibles. I mean, certainly there are websites that specifically cater towards postcards. There's ones towards stamps, comics, baseball cards. We've talked about in several other episodes. You know, you also have them for records. So you really, you know, Terapeak is going to give you some good information, but it might not be applicable to the other sites that you're going to list your items on. Now, remember, you're never going to list on items on eBay and other sites unless there's some sort of automation that will delist the other website when you sell it. So, you know, when we talked about Hip Postcard, Hip Stamp, and Hip Comic, if you do sell on those platforms, the Hip platform does interact directly with the eBay platform. And you know, if you're using InkFrog to do the same thing, you know, it's just you always want automation. So, but don't always think that eBay is the only place you could sell a collectible. As a matter of fact, sometimes collectibles go for more on these other sites than they do on eBay, which gives you some arbitrage opportunities, by the way. I mean, you could always go on eBay, find something that you can find mislabeled, which happens a lot, and then resell it on these other sites, or even just list it in eBay. I mean, we've talked about this, but buying bulk items and then basically parsing them out. And there's a lot of money to be made in that way of listing. That is the best way for postcards. I think that there are a lot of sellers who just try to dump their postcards on eBay. And so it gives you an opportunity. If you could sell, you could buy for 10 to 25 cents a card, even if you only use 50% of the cards that are in the batch that you sell, and then resell the other ones as a batch, others, the ones that you don't use, there is money to be made. And a matter of fact, just today, I bought, I'm going to call it 5,000 cards. About 3,000 of them I kept and will be listing them individually. But the other 2,000 I couldn't use, for a variety of reasons. You know, they're good cards and they weren't junk. If they're trashed, I throw them away. But if they're not trashed, I lot them up and I sell them and I just recoup some of the money from my initial purchase. So if I buy, let's say 5,000 cards for $500, I'm just making the number up, and I could then sell the 2,000 cards for $125 to maybe even $250, that I could recoup half my money. And that essentially lowers my buy cost for the others. So, you know, you want to think in those terms, but you got to be careful when you're buying lots. Cause again, if the person knows what they're doing, they're just putting a bunch of junk in there. And if they don't know what they're doing, or if they're just maybe too busy, then they'll sell these huge lots and there's money to be made, like I said. But there's equally, you know, they may have things that they're listing as a certain type of card, for instance, and it's not necessarily true. So I just bought about 5,000 cards, like I said, and this person said there's a lot of RPPC in there. And this is kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, but these were chrome. So yes, there were photographs. They weren't even, but real photograph postcards are essentially postcards that are photos that were placed on special paper, you know, photograph paper, that had insignias or logos on the back of the photography paper type. And it was, it's, you know, it's very different than a picture postcard, you know, like a chrome postcard. But this person didn't know the difference. And so anyway, I got sort of duped, but you know, I looked at it and I really negotiated it down pretty good anyway. And so I didn't really return it. You know, these people are in the, I don't return a lot of stuff unless the person really doesn't know what they've sold, and they've really, really overstated what they're selling. I usually generally just, you know, just suck it up and just enlist. I just bought, another case in point, I just bought, about 10,000, postcards, chrome postcards for railroads, you know, for, actually European railroads specifically. So it'd be interesting. I bought them at a really low buy price. And so I'm hoping that they're going to yield some results. But, again, this person listed them as basically RPPCs. And I knew they weren't RPPCs just by looking at them. So anyway, but I bought them at a really good buy cost. And, again, you can do this. So a matter of fact, I think some of you are doing this because I'm running into a lot of competition and buying lots these days. So, of course I'm going to be moving over to the card shows pretty soon. So, matter of fact, I was in Florida over the weekend and went to a card club and they had lots of stuff. And since I was coming back to Massachusetts, I didn't buy any because I didn't want to lug them in my suitcase. But I know where I'm going to go to this place and I'm going to probably stop buying on eBay. So the nice thing is that you probably have something near you and you need to do that. And that's not necessarily in postcards. It could be comic books, could be, you know, other collectibles. So do it. And as a matter of fact, I think a lot of the antique stores, you can go into antique stores and, you know, they're focusing on the big stuff. And if you go rifle through papers and, postcards and stamps and coins and things like that, you could probably pick up some really good deals, at these places because they're not usually dealing with that. They're not a coin store for specifically, for instance. So now the nice thing is that eBay is really kind of pushing the coin market now, just like they're pushing the postcard market by giving you the free, free cheap shipping. Now I did find a problem with the cheap shipping recently. I had a return. It ended up, I was able to actually, get the person to keep it. But, when you try to do a return on the specialized postage, it's not like you buy a label on eBay. So that's not one of the options, unfortunately. So you got to figure that out. Now, of course, what I'll do is probably just go on Pirate Ship and then basically upload a label and you can do it that way too. So anyway, there are some downsides to some of the programs that eBay has, but you know, there's tons of upsides too. So coins being one of them, and coins, definitely something you could buy in large lots, tokens as well too. You could buy them in large lots. You can find them at antique stores. You could find them, you know, at garage sales even. I've even found them on eBay. And recently I found a huge lot of tokens, from the Goodwill site. So Goodwill is, trying to play a big player in this area, but they don't want to sell things individually. You know, they're just trying to actually liquidate what they have. And so that they'll sell huge lots of things, and there's an opportunity. So again, we talked about farming many, many, many times in this podcast. What you want to do is you want to be a farmer and you want to go out there and buy lots and separate those out. That's where the money is. Okay. So you're not going to be able to grow fast if you're buying things onesies and twosies. You want to buy 1 in 200 and 1 or 2,000 or 10,000 and 20,000 items at once. And it's going to be a little bit more money, but the money is going to be made back by parsing these out. Take the stuff you want, put the others in lots, sell the lots, recoup some of your cost, and then parse the other stuff out individually, and you will make money. It's almost guaranteed. My sell-through rate is lower than it was when I was selling clothing, but it's not that much lower. And I'm selling, and I'm putting a lot more inventory out there today. This last weekend, I sold 40 cards in one day. 40 cards. That's a lot. You know, that's a good, and each one, you know, I bought for 50 cents. That's roughly 50 cents. And I'm selling it for 15, 20 bucks. So
stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the constant stream of dire climate news? Turn that concern into action. Tune in to the Climate Confident podcast every Wednesday morning when I bring you good news and real solutions from the front lines of climate action. Whether you're in business, tech, or just passionate about sustainability, the Climate Confident podcast is your weekly dose of optimism and inspiration. Subscribe to Climate Confident on your favorite podcast platform and start your Wednesday with hope and actionable insights.
Just take my advice. Look for lots, parse them out, and watch the cash roll in. Okay. Get your guides. I know we're meandering a little bit, but get your guides. So you can identify things and so that you could see what others don't in those items. And if they're your description's good, meaning you got 80 characters, use them. And, you've identified things well, and you put all the item specifics in, then you will start to see results. Now, that takes me to another topic, item specifics. Now, this isn't really a huge problem in the collectibles market yet, but it's going to be. And what I mean by that is that, as you could see with clothing, that every once in a while you'll get this massive amount of, you know, recommended and required item specifics. And as you know, then all of a sudden you have to make all these updates, and it's kind of hard. And now there's ways to do that to speed that up, and that just go on YouTube and look that up. I'm not going to tell you here because it's too difficult to talk to on a podcast, but you want to be able to put those item specifics in, and they do yield results. Now, I know there's some controversy around that. Some people don't think that yield results. I do believe it does, though. I mean, it seems to me that I had better sell through rates when I put in those item specifics. And I know in the Google search, it will show more if you have more item specifics, you know, but in collectibles, it hasn't really been an issue yet because there's not really a hell of a lot of item specifics in most collectibles. Now, certainly in the baseball card area or the sports card area, there is. So that's a little bit different. But a lot of collectibles, there's not. And because eBay doesn't really, you know, when they start to really get into an item, an area, then they'll add those, right? They start with shoes, for instance. They didn't have a lot of item specifics until recent. And then clothing, which is really kind of the most competitive market on all of eBay is clothing. And so there's a lot of item specifics required. And I will tell you, some of those item specifics don't seem to make any sense. Now, some people put NA as part of item specifics. Don't do that. You know, if you don't know it or if it's not applicable, then there's a little checkbox that you click that says, don't remind me of this again, basically. And so do that. Don't put in NA or put something fake, because then you'll get a false positive result on when somebody searches. So these do work. Again, not huge in the collectibles market. So I think those in the collectibles market who kind of say that it doesn't work, they're probably kind of half right. I mean, they don't at current time, but they will. I've mentioned recently that I have a kind of a growth coach for eBay that they assigned me. And some of you might have that as well. Mine's pretty good. Matter of fact, I might try to get him on as a guest on this show. I stopped doing guests recently just because I do this kind of free form. But I might bring him on because he had a lot of good things to talk about, and I've imparted some of that knowledge here, but he might have a lot more. But I could tell you that item specifics is something that he was really pushing, and I have seen those results. So I can't really say he's incorrect. Now, mind you, that might not be your experience, but you know, at least then click the little checkbox that says "Don't remind me of these again," and then at least they'll go away on your dashboard. But you know, try it and see what happens. That's all I could say. Okay, the last subject I want to talk to you about is something that I'm going to be doing really soon, and this is self-serving, by the way. So if this doesn't apply to you, just, you know, skip over this part. But I, in the August timeframe, I've been talking about moving. I am going to be selling all my clothing inventory. So if you are a clothes seller and you want to buy, you know, bulk clothing, I have about 3,000 items that I'm going to be selling roughly. I mean, it'll be probably less by the time July hits, July, August hit, but I am looking to sell that stuff, and I'll do it for what I bought it for. So it'll be something that won't be too expensive, and we'll just talk it over anyway. So if you are interested, please reach out to me via my website at oldfashionedmike.com, and we'll work out some kind of deal. I just don't want to move it. It has nothing to do with it being bad stuff. It's all good stuff. It's all has high sell through rates for clothing, and I'm selling in the neighborhood of you know 300 to 400 items a month out of the inventory. So it's got a nearly a 10% sell through rate. So anyway, just putting it out there. You know, if you're not interested, don't worry about it. Just skip over this part of the show, and you know, we'll get to real new topics next week. But if you are interested, reach out via the website, oldfashionedmike.com. And I'd be glad to give you a call. Just give me your phone number or email address, and we'll kind of converse how we can do this and when we can do it and so on. Listen, if you're in the New England area, even better, because then you can just come pick it up. I did initially buy a bulk purchase from somebody from Ohio, right before the pandemic. So, you know, maybe a year and a half ago. So it did come in three boxes, big boxes, and it cost me probably like, you know, $200 shipping or something like that I think I paid. But we'll throw that in. We'll make sure that we're not gonna, again, I want you to make money. And, but I don't want to, my bigger motivation is I just don't want to move it. So I'm not going to be doing the collectibles though. Those things are going to stay with me. So just the clothing. So, and maybe some other ancillary items that are not necessarily clothing, but you know, is not going to be part of my new product line. So, you know, I'm going to go heavy on the website pretty soon. And using InkFrog to cross post, which does automatically delist stuff when you sell it online or if you sell on eBay. So I'm going to be doing that. And it doesn't look right if I have clothing on there and collectibles in the same website. It just didn't look right. So that's why I've been holding off doing it. Other than that, though, I think that there is an opportunity here if you are a clothing seller to get something, some really good items. And I have everything from Burberry and Gucci and all sorts of stuff, all to, you know, and then other items that are, you know, probably more common, like Ralph Lauren and so on. Anyway, if you're interested, just get in contact with me. If you're not interested, don't worry about it. I won't belabor the matter. I might bring it up next week, but probably after that, I forget that I even talked about it. All right, thank you very much. And I know it's coming up right around 25 minutes, so we'll cut it short a little bit today. But thank you very much for coming to the show, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.